From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
The Bill Michaels Show, final hour, Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee, sitting in for Bill. Next time he's back here, it'll be just about 2019.
Yeah.
He's here Monday, right?
Yes, yeah. I believe he will be here for New Year's Eve.
So he'll be getting himself ready for the New Year's Eve party. He can begin right when the show finishes here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know he'll be ready for that. So, in the meantime, you've got week 17 of a Packers season. You've got the culmination. You're facing the Lions. It's at Lambeau Field. You got this last gasp, this last feeling about football. It's the last time this is going to happen for you until next September with the Green Bay Packers. And when you got a feeling like that, you better call Paul.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Immig joining us on the Loans by Kip toll-free talk line. Immig, where, dude, you're not even here, are you?
No, little miniature getaway slash coaching a baseball tournament for my senior team that I coach. So yeah, I am. I decided that the off season began already. You know, it's like 6-8-1. I'm going to Florida.
Yeah,
Paul, you coach a senior citizens baseball team.
I like that story so much more, so I'm going to say yes. No, high school seniors.
Okay.
Well, you know, they got to be happy right now. I mean, although it's not typically late December weather for most of Wisconsin at the moment, they still have to be right. A lot happier with Florida.
Yeah, it's probably not 82 where you guys are, so yeah, it's all good. No complaints.
It's great. I've said for a long time that we should do January and February from a remote studio somewhere down there in Florida.
How's that pitch? How's that pitch going?
So far, highly unsuccessful. It's the opposite of Mike McCarthy as a head coach.
Oh wow! There you go. What a shot at the own network. You know, if you start a petition, I'll sign it for you.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, we have network executives that are constantly working on the CBS lineup, so that's it's important. We'll get it by them. Right. See if we can go to Florida.
I know a guy, so I can help with that.
Perfect, perfect. Okay, so we do have this one last shot, one last go, week 17, and it's week 17 is always the time. It does not matter unless you are playing for something very specific. Week 17 mm-hmm. across the league is that time where it's like, how much do they play? How much do they not play? With the idea that the Packers are not making the postseason, how much do the starters really play?
I mean, I'm sure you're going to be as cautious as you can. I think there's a couple things to preface with that. I mean, you have Rodgers and David Bakhtiari playing through some level of injury this past Sunday. And Bakhtiari saying comments like, you know, 12 plays I play. So, you know, I don't know if this is another situation where Rodgers is going to insist on playing the entire game and overtime. If it were to happen again, I don't know if, you know, if and when Rodgers sits, Bakhtiari sits. But, you know, they're taking some precautions. Excuse me, Kenny Clark going on IR yesterday. I mean, if this was a must-win game, and I don't know that it's, you know, obviously the full extent of what Kenny Clark is going through, but you can be more cautious with these guys in the situation that the Packers are in. And I think you start to evaluate some of your younger talents as well. I mean, go look at the snap counts from this past Sunday. Do you guys know Kyler Fackrell played twice as many snaps as Clay Matthews?
Wow.
Twice as many, Fackrell over Matthews. Now, I mean, you could probably make a pretty strong argument that you're doing that because Fackrell may just be the superior player right now. But I think for sure you're saying, unless the Packers go out and make huge splashes this offseason at outside linebacker, meaning not only signing a key free agent, but also maybe using your first-round pick on an edge rusher, Fackrell is one of your starters next year. So it's a good chance to evaluate guys like that for a significant snap count. And sure, it's possible Clay Matthews comes back on a cheaper contract next year, but you know Fackrell's here. And so there's a lot of examples like that. Like, I'm sure you're going to see another huge dose of Tyler Lancaster on the defensive line, continue the evaluation of him. Montrevious Adams has finally come alive and started to show some life. So You know, I told Bill this last week going into week 16. You don't look at this last game, given that it's meaningless in the records reasons. You don't look at it exactly like a preseason game, but I think you do in the sense that you're looking for player evaluation. You want to see guys who are going to be here next year and what they can do. You want to get one last evaluation, maybe even of veterans like Tremont Williams, who you could bring back next year for $5 million. He's under contract, but you could get rid of him too and not eat much of the dead cap. So, you know, this is evaluation season. And you know what? Obviously the elephant in the room is Aaron Rodgers and how much he plays. But with DeShone Kizer, I mean, at a certain point, you're going to want to see him, aren't you? Like in a regular season game. So I think there's a lot there, Kevin, that from a football nerd's perspective, which I think we all are, to kind of sit there, and even if the game is meaningless, and say, how do some of these young guys look? How do they project onto the 2019 roster, or don't they? And this is a really big chance for those guys.
And I think those of us who spend a lot of time reading deeper into things, and come on, we do that all the time, where we see something on the field and we read a deeper look into it. Will there be anything in this game that can give you insight as to who won't be back? Let me give you an example. Let's say that Randall Cobb plays four snaps and he's gone.
Sure.
Will that make you think he's gone?
Cobb is, finishing up his eighth season in the NFL. I think you kind of, you know, at this point what Cobb will and won't give you. And I think the bigger concern really is, and, you know, I truly believe when Clay Matthews and Randall Cobb say that they do want to be here next year, I think it's true of most players. Like, even when really young upstart corners like Casey Hayward and Micah Hyde were here, and obviously in the Ted Thompson era weren't retained, even though they should have been, most guys want to be here. So if Cobb plays four snaps, doesn't play at all, or plays every single snap, I think for a guy like that, I think you're more assessing his injury history, his ability to stay available next year, because that was the struggle this year, with Randall Cobb staying available. Now, $10 million he is not getting next year, but if he wants to take the contract next year that Jordy Nelson didn't want to take, which was reportedly, something in the $2 million per year range, I'm sure it would be offered, I would assume. And, same thing for maybe Clay Matthews at a $3, $4, $5 million number. But some of those guys, Kevin, the eighth year, ninth year, tenth year type guys, I'm assuming, I of course don't know, but I'm assuming a lot of those decisions, there's enough data to make those decisions, I guess, would be the best way to put it.
If you were running a pool, Paul Emig, you're trying to set an over-under on the date the Packers will say our next head coach is blank, what's the date?
When he's hired?
Yeah. Like when the announcement's made.
January 11th.
Oh, quickly.
I say that because when the final playoff seeds are set and you're down to a situation where especially the teams with the first round buys in the playoffs, that's when a lot of times those offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, quarterbacks, coaches, et cetera, start taking some interviews. And a lot of times you'll see these guys accept head coaching jobs before their team plays in the divisional round of the playoffs. So I don't buy into, I told Bill the other day, Caldwell and Pagano combined for me make up a 1% chance of getting the job. Even if you want to throw in Joe Philbin, he doesn't add any percentage points to that for me. Caldwell, Philbin, Pagano combined are 1%. But if it's, that's totally just me guessing, but that's what it feels like to me. And I think more likely you're going to see, whether it be a college coach, and I know that's a bit of a divisive topic, come in here, or whether it is probably more likely to be an offensive or defensive coordinator throughout the league, sometimes that's the magic time, is they accept that job. Now, some guys try to hold out and they say, I'll get back to you after, the Super Bowl and whatever else. But, I think if I had to go like over under January 16th, I think I'd pretty comfortably take the under.
Wow. It would be nice, I think, for a couple of reasons. I mean, you got to find the right choice, number one. So that's,
of course,
that's way beyond anything else. But to do it at that time.
But if your guy is coveted, don't you have to lock him up? Like, if he's the guy that three teams are after, you're not going to, you're going to give him the offer he asks for, right? Like, whoever the hot name ends up being in the coaching circle come January 1st after Black Monday, I don't know about you, but I think that's when you start to just say, okay, let's lock this in now before someone else does. So you kind of get real aggressive, especially if it is that coveted, up-and-coming next guy.
If it's the guy if it's the guy that they walk in and you're like, that's the guy, then I'm locking the door.
You got to lock the door.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's And, you know, and again, this is the Green Bay Packers. And I know we all are from the state, and we all, you know, some people might say that that name, Green Bay Packers and 1265 and all these other things mean more to us. And I don't agree with that. I agree when Mark Murphy says the Green Bay Packers are a supremely coveted job. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I think people would agree with that whether you're from Wisconsin, live in Wisconsin or not. And this is a team quarterback by Aaron Rodgers that does not have an owner. Yes, there's a new power structure with Murphy and everything, but you're in a much comfier position, I think, to take this job than the majority of head coaching jobs on a given offseason. So again, that guy walks in the door on January 4th for the interview, and you're dead. This is a guy, right? You decide it's the guy. You lock the door and you get that contract, and you let him name his number.
Yeah. Yeah, you're 1,000% right about that. And it's true. I'd have to agree with you on the whole Packers stigma, you know, beyond Green Bay. I mean, there are Packers fans everywhere, but the other half is there is this thought that it's Green Bay, and there are people around the country that would not know a thing about Green Bay, can't put it on a map. They put it in Minnesota, but sure. but they have one of the most successful franchises in all of professional sports. It's actually a pretty amazing story in the world of revenue sharing and large market teams dominating, that Green Bay, Wisconsin has one of the sure. dominant franchises in the league. It's a great thing. All right, Paul. So, you know, I can't let you go without talking TV.
Yeah.
I have not done a thing. Obviously, we've been busy with celebrating with families and all that yeah. stuff. So I'm going to sit down after probably this weekend and get back into it. Where am I looking? What's my next TV show?
You finished Parks and Rec?
No, we're close though. Rob Lowe and Rashida Jones are still on the show, but they're about to okay. be gone.
Yeah, you got about another season and a half total to go then.
Yeah.
You have not done like Breaking Bad, right?
No.
Okay. So
isn't that terrible?
There's no reason that really is truly like makes you a terrible person. Yes. so let's not go in the weeds too much and try to find like a you know a nitpicky type show that only a few people have heard of. I mean, Breaking Bad, Kevin, you just have to watch it. You just have to experience it. And you know what? You're going to have the same feeling five episodes into Breaking Bad that you did five episodes into Parks. You're going to say, like, really? This was a thing? And then three scenes in, you're going to, like, not ever sleep because you're just going to binge watch all night long, literally. And you'll be 3 days sleep deprived, and you'll be in season four, and you'll be like, this is the greatest 3 days of my life.
Yeah, it's exactly what happened with Parks and Rec.
Oh, you're just going to, yes. I mean, there were way too many up till 4 a.m. because I was like, wait, what time is it? Because you get that involved. In Breaking Bad, so we'll go down the like the weedy path of like smaller shows at some point, but you have to experience it. You just absolutely have to.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
It's a requirement.
I'm gonna. This is like you know, Grandpa getting with the times here. I'm gonna check out Breaking Bad.
Good. And then I'll probably next steer you towards Stranger Things on Netflix. I think that's where I'm taking you next.
I've heard enough about it to have a sort of a vague picture of what that is. So that does sound like a nice second one. Paul Emmett, Green and Gold Insider. Dude, one, enjoy that sunshine. Two, bring some back, please.
Yeah, as long as I don't come back in the snow, I'll be happy. So I will do my best to transfer it with me.
Enjoy the heck out of it, Paul. We'll talk soon. That's Paul Emmett. Joining us on the Loans by Kip toll-free talk line. Paul, so I don't know, you know, Jeff, if you've been here or heard like when we converse, but we do about two-thirds football and one-third television because he is floored by the fact that, one, I have seen like almost no movies ever,
mm-hmm.
but I also have seen very little television ever, like as far as TV shows.
How dare you have a life, Kevin? Come on, man. Well, you're making the rest of us look bad.
So his point is, he's like, you work in television. Your job is television news. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, but you haven't seen television. I'm like, look, when you work at the sausage factory, when you go home from your job, is the first thing when you walk in the door to say, I want some sausage?
No.
It's the opposite.
I bet half the cleaning ladies in the world, their house is filthy because they just cleaned for 800 people. They don't want to have to go home and clean up after their own mess.
100% agree with you on that. But I'm not opposed to it. It's just not something I seek out. You know,
right.
Like if I'm at home, sometimes the TV just doesn't come on. You know, I don't turn it on.
Yeah.
I do other things with my life. So Paul's been trying to get me at least into the, you know, mainstream of consciousness of these shows, you know?
Well, you know, it's funny that he chooses Breaking Bad, a show that's ended 5 years ago, so he's trying to catch you up to the early 2000s.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm watching Parks and Recreation to give you an indication for
I've
the
never
first
seen
time.
It.
No? No. So this is a show that ended a couple years back, and we're catching up on that. So that's your catch. That's where I am from a television standpoint.
Hey.
It's time for the professor, Mike Clemens. Always some great insights from this guy. Call him the professor because we learn a bunch of things every time we talk to him, and we will talk to him next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, this portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Van Horn Automotive. Sometimes a ride around the block, just not enough. That's why Van Horn, they offer the 90-day test drive program available at any of their FCA locations in Plymouth or Manitowoc or Stoughton. You can take a ride in a brand new Ram 1500, a Jeep Grand Cherokee, Dodge Charger, Dodge Grand Caravan, or even a Chrysler Pacifica. 90 days, no obligation. I did it. I was fantastically floored. If you're not satisfied, you can return it with no additional commitment. Or you can buy it and save up to $2,000. I just picked up a luxury car. I've been saying this for a long time. It's a luxury car wrapped in a 2019 Ram pickup truck, but I got it from the folks at the Truck Center in Plymouth, and I love this thing. Check out VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com, and shop all the inventory that qualifies for the 90-day test drive. VanHornAuto.com, exclusively at Van Horn Automotive.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
It's a lot different when it's actually you getting fired, too. You know, that's the one thing I told my wife. I mean, it's, you know, it's one thing being fired, and this is the first time I've ever been on a staff that got fired. The other times I've been fired, it's been me. So, you know, it's a little bit different. You know, I think, you know, when you know, you don't know what your future is. I mean, obviously, you want to plan ahead, and you got to have a way to take care of your family. And most all coaches understand that when they choose this profession. I mean, they always used to always say that you know, there's two kinds of coaches, those that have been fired or those that are going to get fired. And for the most part, it's, you know, that's probably fairly true. You know, it's just the way it is.
That's Ron Zook, the special teams coach of the Green Bay Packers, with Mike McCarthy now gone. Ron Zook is the focus of a lot of fans' ire, thinking that Zook may be done at the end of this season. To answer that question and much more, it is time to talk to the professor, Mike Clemens, NFL Sirius Radio. Mike, week 17, you are still going strong, my friend.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of excited about the game. Honestly, am. I remember that game between the Lions and the Packers and Matt Flynn at quarterback, and then that became, you know, a 40-plus game. I mean, anything can happen on Sunday. These teams are playing loose. They're not worried about the postseason. And I hope they decide they want to go out there and have a little bit of fun. And there'll be some young players to get a look at too, and try and impress, you know, their general managers about what these teams are going to look like in 2019. But, you know, the Lions hire Matt Patricia. Even though he got, he gave up like 44, did he give to the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl? I mean, it was all through the postseason a year ago at this time. The Lions wanted to get the defensive coordinator of the New England Patriots as their next head coach. He goes through kind of a Me Too thing last spring, right after he starts the job. He's a likable guy. I got to interview him a couple times at the Super Bowl, very approachable, a guy who gave up a career literally in rocket science in college to get back into coaching and football. In training camp, he not only ran the Lions through one live scrimmage with another NFL team, two of them. I mean, he was beating up his guys. They kick off the season, and they get blown out 48-17 by the Jets and a rookie quarterback, you know, Sam Darnold, and they and Matt Stafford throws four picks in that game, goes 27-46, horrible debut. But then they come back 2 weeks later, and they beat the Patriots at Ford Field, 26-10. They lost by two to the Cowboys, and then, you know, they get to like 3-4 when they beat, or at least 2-3 when they beat the Packers. You know, Mason Crosby misses five kicks that day, and Aaron Rodgers fumbles the ball a couple of times away, and the Lions get good field position, and they're able to beat the Packers. And you think that, all right, they might be a team that can turn things around and compete at the end of the season. And on Halloween weekend, they trade Golden Tate to the Eagles for a third-round pick. And, you know, the team's been in disarray since then. I mean, it was pretty much a signal like, yeah, we don't believe in you guys this year, and we're going to get the pick because we don't want to pay Golden Tate, 30 years old, what he's going to get at the end of the season. 2 weeks after that, they're rewarded with that by Marvin Jones injuring his knee and hanging around for 2 weeks, and they put him on IR. So, you know, what do they got left? They got the Kenny Galladay guy, and he's special. I mean, he's pretty fast. The Zach Zenner, the running back, Theo Riddick, but a banged-up offensive line, and now a team that's lost five of their last seven games.
It's kind of an amazing thing to think about that, and Patricia, Of course, he gets to finish that first season by facing the Green Bay Packers. That's they haven't had a lot of success, Mike, in Wisconsin, the Lions have.
And here's how Patricia works. I mean, he talks really fast. You can tell he's a smart guy. Here's his breakdown of who he's going to face in Green Bay, the Packers, on Sunday.
Big week for us, Green Bay. Obviously going up there, coming off big win for them down with the Jets. You know, it looks like obviously offensively they're operating on all cylinders. Quarterback played really well. Jamal Williams in there at the running back position, handled the majority of the snaps, was able to kind of get that run game going with the stretch and zone system that they have in place with Coach Philbin, keeping that in a very productive manner. Devontae Adams, obviously a great player for him. Cobb, you know, we'll see where he's at as far as this week's availability, but we know how dynamic he is.
And then Matthew Stafford, he's got some back issues, but he wants to play. He's got a consecutive game streak going, I think 127 starts. But he's been hit up all week long with reports that the Lions may want to trade Matthew Stafford, their quarterback, in the offseason, and Matthew was asked about that.
Don't think about it too much. Haven't seen it. I have no control over that, nor do I know what's going on there. I know that I'm concentrating on one thing, and that's the Packers, something that you guys haven't asked me a single question about, which I appreciate. But we're preparing to play those guys, and that's what my focus is on right now.
You know, Matthew Stafford, we've got a sister station in Detroit. A buddy of mine there, Jeff Rieger, asked him some really tough questions in the week leading up to the Packers game when we were over there in Detroit, just about, you know, you don't say much, Matt, and, you know, you don't really let on your feelings as to how you feel about how things are going with the franchise. And, you know, he's just very even key that way, and it was actually kind of an impressive back and forth. He opened up a little bit about it. I think Stafford's a pretty good football player. Sometimes he's a little reckless with the football, but, oh my God, he's been through so many offensive coordinators and head coaches, for that matter. So Green Bay came into the week with like four of their seven receivers on the injury report. Now, Devontae still has not practiced, even though he wants to break that Sterling Sharp and Jordy Nelson record for catches and yardage in a season. And Randall Cobb, he's off the concussion protocol. But, man, listen to what a scary story this was. 2 weeks ago, we were down in Chicago, and Randall Cobb comes off the field, and I'm looking at him. I thought, is he lobbying to get back in the game or kind of fighting with the coaches to get back in the game? Because he's been out with his concussion since the Bears game. Listen to Randall tell the story.
I don't think I was fighting to get back on the field. I didn't know where I was. Yeah, apparently they called for me to go on punt return, and I had no idea. So,
is that one of the scariest things?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No question. Well, I mean, when it happened, when we think that it happened, we don't know for sure if I took a hit earlier in the game and then the hit that Eddie Jackson had was just another one that rattled me, but I didn't remember the last three plays that I played. Had no clue about the interception until I got on the bus. I don't remember anything until I got back to the locker room, so it was like a 10-minute span where I just had amnesia and no idea. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's pretty scary. Have you ever had a time period where you just, like, don't remember anything? I mean, it's pretty scary.
Does it make you question whether you want to play football or is it?
Did you see me at practice today? Like, yeah. I'm practicing to play football, so obviously, you know, it definitely is scary, but I do love what I do, and I'm going to play until I don't feel like I can play anymore.
Wow, that's something, Mike. That's there's something that snuck under the radar when it happened, but that'll put a scare into anybody.
Yeah, but, you know, he's a football player. He'll get back out there. I can't help but think to a time back where there was a defensive back, I think it was Joey Thomas, who had a concussion. And this is about 2005, and they brought him out the day after the game. You know, this is long before this concussion protocol, and the TV crews were there. They're turning on their lights, and you know, I mean, he looked like he just gotten out of a cave. You know, it's like, man, could you like turn those lights off or something? And we did an interview with him, and he, you know, could barely answer half the questions. And now, I mean, when we got into the Bears locker room after the game, there were already Packers PR people saying, you can't talk to Randall, he's in the concussion protocol. That's, you know, I mean, they immediately protect these players when they're under that, because now they've paid attention to all the symptoms.
Man, that's, you know, we've learned things in the years, most recent years, about concussions, and I don't care how much we learn. It's a little bit jarring to hear it. We'll find out what happens with Cobb's future with the team, but you certainly hope that he, you know, comes out of this all right. Mike, stick around. We're going to have another segment with you here, Mike Clemens, on the Bill Michaels Show next.
This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip, giving away $15,000 in cash and prizes. Right now, you can win an Apple Watch, a Yeti cooler, PS4 bundle, KitchenAid mixer, all through December 25th. The only way to get registered, though, is to have a Quick Trip rewards card. Go to quicktrip.com, K-W-I-K, quicktrip.com, and then /sweepstakes, and you can see the daily prize, but you got to get the rewards card as well. You can download the app on your mobile device or just stop into any participating Quick Trip. Go to Quick Trip today. We are always proud to use Quick Trip.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
It's the reality of the business. There's such a great turnover, even, you know, whether you have a season like we had where you don't make the playoffs or whether you win the Super Bowl. It's just the, you know, kind of how the league works. So, yeah, you appreciate these last couple days, despite, you know, our record and where we're at, but you, I mean, kind of how you alluded to, you kind of try and appreciate these last couple days and spending time together because, you know, once, you know, Sunday at, you know, 7 p.m., I don't think there's going to be many people coming back, you know, aside from our exit interview. So, you know, it's just the, I guess, unfortunate reality of the business. But, yeah, you just try and appreciate it as much as you can.
For the second consecutive season, Clay Matthews' season ends when the regular season ends. 2018, certainly a disappointment. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio joins us. I don't think there's another way to put that one. It's two straight now, back-to-back disappointments in Green Bay. Mike would agree with that,
Hopefully,
I think.
This coming weekend, this will be only like the third time he's had a healthy season where he's going to play all 16 games. I think he finished the 14 and 15 season, all 16 games. There's a lot of seasons where Clay, you know, was out a couple of weeks, and he's come back out there, and he's playing with a club on his hand and hamstring injuries and those kinds of things. Talking about this Packers defense, you know, I think most Packer fans think that Mike Pettine improved what Capers had the last couple of years, and then given away his work with, and then the injuries that they took. I thought that the Packers actually stayed pretty healthy for the first month or two. Maybe we're underestimating how much they were going to miss Geronimo Allison after the first couple of games, Randall Cobb missing all those games early with the hamstring injury, and how much that messed up Aaron Rodgers. And, of course, it was later on that we started seeing guys go down, you know, like Mike Daniels, and then you got Kenny Clark going down, you know, just put on IR this week. Byron Bell, the right guard, and Kevin King for a second year in a row. This is a guy, and Muhammad Wilkerson with the broken leg, Nick Perry. So a lot of these guys on the defense. This defense has only got plus one in takeaway ratio, which Mike McCarthy stressed all the time. Whereas teams like Seattle, the Saints, even the Cleveland Browns, they're plus nine. So this defense didn't get a lot of interceptions as they could have, or maybe strip the football more. But Mike Pettine was asked last night, how would he assess his 2018 season, his first year in Green Bay as defensive coordinator?
When you just look at the year overall and how things went, you know, we're in the win business, and that's where, you know, that'll be the biggest disappointment from this year is how it played out from that standpoint. But the positive stuff too, and how we handled the injuries and, you know, some of the circumstances we had, again, and I know I've said this before, but it falls back to the comments I made about the staff. I mean, those were the guys that, you know, had to grab a guy just basically, you know, walking in the building and get him coached up to play on, you know, individually to play on a Sunday. So a lot of credit, you know, goes to those guys.
And when it comes to the secondary, I mean, the plan was you got Tremont Williams, you bring back Devon House. You got Jair Alexander, the rookie. You got Josh Jackson, you know, the other rookie. Kevin King, your former first-round pick in there. All those guys in the mix. That's a pretty strong group. And the next thing you know, I mean, it's like November, and I look over at the defensive backs, and I haven't had a chance to interview these guys. I mean, they're coming in off the street, you know, Rashad Breeland and Eddie Pleasant, the safety, and Tony Brown, and, you know, and they don't have time because they're running to these extra meetings while they're coaching these guys up. They got 3 days to coach them up and bring them in, and before they get, you know, maybe 25 snaps in Sunday's game. It's been unbelievable this year for that group. Again, they just have such a revolving door with injuries at safety, and Joe Witt is your secondary coach, and he's the one who's, you know, suffers the brunt of that.
I mean, I'm just thinking about how many guys have come in the room that weren't in training camp. Just if you go back and count them, how many guys have played in the secondary that was not in training camp? There's more of those guys than that were actually in training camp. You know, and the numbers aren't great, but the energy and the communication and those type things have been solid.
So it continues, Mike, the idea that this secondary has just been cursed is the wrong word. It has become a focal point for this team for years. And even though there's more talent now than there was a couple of years ago, you can't shake this. It's still a big part of why this team has struggled.
Well, and to me, sometimes it comes down to the physicality of the players, particularly in the secondary. And, you know, I can think of guys like Doug Evans back in the day, or Leroy Butler. Those were bigger guys, and still they had the speed. And the coverage technique, and Al Harris, who, you know, for the last 5 years of his career wasn't the fastest guy, but he learned a different technique jamming guys at the line. I mean, he was so big in the upper body, and he was there, you know, 14 out of 16 games a year when it came to regular season. And so, you know, Kevin King, man, he looks like he should be a forward on your basketball team and not necessarily, you know, a corner. And they were concerned about that, but that was Brian Gutekunst. He scouted him personally 2 years ago and said, what you can't believe is how this guy gets down and can wrap up. And he does. I mean, he's great. But it's just, gosh, between concussions, both injuring both shoulders, we hope the third year is the charm, that he can figure out how to survive in an NFL season and get through there, because he does have some talent and some speed. And then last but not least, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers. And what this guy has been through, with that incredible comeback against the Bears on opening night, and then going the next 4 or 5 weeks with a sore knee, maybe the whole season, who knows. I don't know if there's some other, he's taken all these hits. You know, he got hit like a dozen times. You know, Sam Darnold, I think he only got sacked twice or something, maybe got hit. Rodgers gets hit like a dozen times a game. That's got to have some effect on his back, his wrist, his accuracy. They don't list that on the injury report. And he's 35 years old, and all these guys that are coming in through the door, and young receivers, the rookie receivers he's working with. So we had a great conversation with Rodgers the other day about, you know, relatability with these younger players. It's the same thing we talked about with Favre. And he said, we were asking him, you know, are you taking steps to sort of connect with these 23-year-old teammates?
Well, I'm not going to start playing Fortnite or any of this other crap they're playing. But, you know, I've said over the years, it's you get back from a meeting, you have a break, and people are looking at their phone and Instagram. So you got to stay up to date with what's going on. You got to check your feed and be aware of the, social world, what's going on, so you can have conversations with them. But naturally, you know, being the old head in here and having some gray in my beard, then at some point they'll come to me and ask me questions about certain things, and that's what I love. I love giving advice to young guys, help them not make some of the mistakes that I made as a young player and a young person. And but you know, you just got to be intentional about it, and you know, invite them to stuff and do outings and get-togethers and dinners and stuff in the off season to get to know them, because that's part of the chemistry I was talking about earlier.
And that's just not him doing lip service, because, you know, you're hearing it from the players. It's different than 5-6 years ago when JerMichael Finley was, you know, tweeting things about, you know, Rodgers and I don't have any chemistry, and at least, you know, if we could just at least go out for a drink or something sometime. Remember all that time?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, I'm trying to see what Rodgers thinks is going a little bit better now, post Mike McCarthy and Winston Moss. I mean, why was it stale? I've heard some players, in a roundabout way, they're just talking about what's going on the last couple of weeks, a little more positive, a little more open, but they will mention, like, you know, we see the coaches more. We see Joe Philbin, you know, like in the locker room or in our meeting rooms and all that. So, you know, I don't know if that means that McCarthy was too stuck up, you know, in the office doing the administrative stuff, or, you know, onto some other things. It's a matter of style sometimes, than necessarily, you know, the effort, because there's no question the effort's going in, but you're just kind of figure out what's going to work for these guys, what's going to get them focused, make them better football players, and understand, work better together. So one of the things I try to do is I said to, McCarthy came, you know, he spent so much time with the science and resting players because their GPS numbers were high. Remember that? And so I said to Rodgers, you know, like 3-4 years ago, McCarthy moved the Friday practice. Everybody practices Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You take Saturday off. You get on the plane. You go play a football game on Sunday. You know, that's the schedule. McCarthy moved the practice to Saturday morning, the run-through, where it's helmets and shorts and shirts. They run 100% as fast as they can for about 45 minutes. But it's an important, you know, last chance, dress rehearsal, execution for the game plan that week. And they do it on Saturdays. And then shower and get on the plane and go. And because they said that track stars, marathon guys, they run the day before the race. If they run on Friday and rest on Saturday, they're more tired on the second day. So I asked Rodgers, what does he think about that Saturday format?
The practice on Saturday?
Yeah.
I mean, most guys like it. I used to be a practice Friday guy and off Saturday, but you know, most of the guys actually like it. When there's stuff like that that's changed over the years, you know, I like to make a little quip about, you know, how we won championships doing it the other way. But I think as time goes and as the studying on our body and its responses to physical exertion, it's supposedly better practicing the way we practice on Saturday. But again, you know, we won championships doing it the other way. So who knows?
And then point blank, Aaron Rodgers, do you want Joe Philbin as the next head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
Well, you know, that's out of our decision. I just think that Joe has a lot of respect. You know, he's led our offensive meetings since April 16th. So the offensive guys know him really well, his sense of humor, his passion, his devotion to his job. And, you know, he does a great job in the meetings, great job in the walkthroughs. Communication's been great. So I just think, you know, I feel like we owe it to him, you know, to finish this thing out the right way. And the stuff that he's preached in the past 3-plus weeks has been really good stuff. You know, I think we all needed a little kick in the ass with some of the stuff he was talking about. You know, it's a simple approach to the game that guys can relate to. And in this league, a lot of times, it's really about the connection between players, the connection between player and coach, and coach to coach. Those relationships are so important to the ultimate chemistry of an organization and success, I really do believe. When coaches have a love and appreciation for each other, they coach for each other. When players have a love and a respect and appreciation for the coaches, they play for the coaches. When we love each other in here, we spend time with each other outside the facility, we play for each other. And I think we just needed some of those reminders, how important those connections are. And that's what I'm going to be doing when I lace them up on Sunday, is playing for my guys and playing for my coaches and playing for Joe.
And as successful as Joe Philbin has been through college, about 15, 17 years in the NFL, part of that with the Packers, he's right there now, right at the doorstep of the team that was coached by Lambeau and Lombardi and Holmgren and McCarthy, for that matter. He's in the running for the job. And so he was asked, what has it been the last 4 weeks to be the interim head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
Hey, look, it's, you know, to represent this organization as the interim head coach is an honor. And, you know, to lead this staff and this group of players has been a lot of fun. So it's certainly been a privilege. And, for however long or last, for the next 2 days, again, told the guys that this morning. You know, they came to report a lot of the veterans 257 days ago, right? It was April 16th, and that's when really this journey began. And those days are gone, right? We're not going to undo any of those days. But the next, you know, 3 days, today, what we do today, what we do tomorrow, what we do on Sunday still matters, you know. And just like I've always, you know, like I've said before, you know, you take advantage of the opportunities you have, and you do the best you can. And then you can, you know, go to bed at night and deal with whatever happens. And I think if you approach it that way, whatever happens will happen, and you'll be prepared for it, and you'll deal with it, and you'll move forward. So, you know, if you like football and you like coaching, you know, coaching for the Green Bay Packers, it's a pretty good deal.
And we'll find out soon enough, Kevin and Jeff.
Mike Clemens, Sirius NFL Radio, always appreciate it. I told you we learned something. We always do.
Yes, we do.
Mike gets us going for the weekend, ready for the weekend, and we'll get you those final preps for Packers-Lions next on The Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the Bill Michaels Show brought to you by our good friends at Cousins. They have the new Euros from Cousins right now. Mouthwatering, scrumptious. Your choice of Euro meat or chicken with great seasoning. Both served with the Wisconsin feta cheese, fresh cucumbers, onions, tomatoes, slathered with the Greek yogurt tzatziki sauce, and then stacked on the freshly baked Italian bread. So rescue your taste buds. Check out our friends from Cousins Subs. It's limited time only, by the way. Go to CousinsSubs.com or download the app. Again, for a limited time only, that is Cousins Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Finishing things off here in the Bill Michaels Show, the Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlowski. What's your plans this weekend? What you doing?
I'll be here tonight at the station here in Milwaukee. I'll be here tomorrow and then Sunday sitting on the couch watching the Packers.
Yeah, same thing. I'm working each day. I'll be at Lambeau Sunday covering that that Packers game. Wish we could go longer with this season, but we'll get one more.
Well, hopefully they get a nice spread out there for you to eat since they're bringing the big guns to the game.
Gourmet stuff. Let's do it. Hey, Jeff, thanks a lot, man.
Thank
really
you.
Really appreciate it. The Bill Michaels Show. Bill is back Monday. Thank you, folks, for listening.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.